Welcome to Ask and It Is Given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show was recorded in San Diego, California in 2001.
When you reach the place that the unfulfilled desire thrills you, then you have it. Then you are in the place of allowing your desire to be. If the unfulfilled desire tortures you or makes you feel depression or discouragement or envy of someone who has already achieved it, then you are holding yourself in a holding pattern of unfulfillment for as long as you feel uncomfortable with it not being fulfilled. So then our normal, logical human friend says, well, just fulfill it and then I'll feel better. And we say, when you ask, it is given. When you ask, it is fulfilled, but you still have to let it in. You seem to be willing to put forth endless effort. There's no amount of time or energy that you are not willing to apply to your desire, but it often does not give you the results that you want because even though you're offering the action, you are not vibrationally in the right receiving mode. And if you are not in the right receiving mode, it doesn't matter what you do, who you do it with, how long you do it, how hard you do it, how many words you offer around it, or how much money you throw at it, it's not going to happen the way you want it to until you adjust your vibration. So how does that play out in your physical experience? Well, it works like this. As you desire something that when you think about it, you feel thrilled about it, now you're in the proper receiving mode. In other words, when your desire feels good to you, even though it hasn't manifested, you are in your expectation of it in the place of receiving it. And it is our expectation that because of your expectation, it will be speedily brought unto you. Now, what we often notice is that even as it comes to you, sometimes in the living of it, you add to it. You say, oh, it's almost perfect, but now I would like it to be this way or that way. And so there is an eternal adjustment of your vibration to keep up with the eternal evolving of your desire. And that's the deliciousness of creating. We notice that as artists, whether you are with musicians, whether you are artists of music or artists of oil painting or artists of clay or artists of mathematics or of science or of computers, that you are rarely satisfied with one work. You are continually fine-tuning your craft to ever more pleasing desires. Sometimes we will see you as an artist showing one of your past creations to someone, and you almost don't want to show it to them because you know your technique has improved so dramatically since this rendition was offered through you. And so what we are getting at here is that you are eternal creators and you never get it done and you will never stop fine-tuning and you will never stop wanting and the universe will never stop yielding contrasting experiences, that there will never be a time when new desire is not born within you, whether you know it or not. It's happening at so many levels. You are launching creations, hundreds of them in every single hour. So as you are the eternal launcher of desires, your eternal work really is to continually bring yourself into the place of alignment with your desires. And that is why we say being aware of the way you feel is so important to this, because as you are aware of the way you feel, then you can modify, mold, manipulate, soothe, smooth, manage the vibration of your being so that it is continually matching the vibration of your desire. So let's say that you are living in a house. It is not exactly pleasing to you. It used to please you, but you've sort of outgrown it. Your styles have changed. Your ideas of what is beautiful has changed. Your tile doesn't please you anymore. The location is not as pleasing as it once was. The neighbors that moved in next door have a very loud barking dog. Traffic on your street has become increasingly uncomfortable. This contrasting experience has caused you on many levels of your being over a period of several months to launch a fantastic, clear, new desire of the perfect place you would like to live even if you have not yet come to the place of being brave enough to mention it to your mate. So the desire is out there, and the universe has been responding to your desire. Each of them, as they have been launched. And so new places, several of them, that would satisfy you on all levels have been orchestrated and put into your path of receiving. And as you are joyful in your now, they come to you easily. The unfolding is delicious, and you hardly miss a beat. And those who are watching you are amazed at how easily your life unfolds. But if you are like the more normal physical human, you've been complaining about the barking dog often enough, and about the turquoise tile often enough, and about the traffic on the street often enough, that you are not a vibrational match to your own desires that you've been launching. So even though the universe heard you and answered you and lined up a series of satisfying experiences for you, you can't come to them because vibrationally you are involved in what is instead of in what you are wanting to be. What we are saying to you is, in your complaining, you are not a match to what you want. In your discouragement, you are not a match to what you want. We were visiting with a woman not long ago, and she listened to us patiently, but her discomfort was building as she's been listening to us for some time say, "You are the creator of your own experience, and you have only to ask, and it is given." And so her opening words to us were, "If I'm asking, and I am, and the universe is yielding, and that's yet to be seen, where in the hell is my stuff?" And we said, "You are asking. It is true. And the universe is yielding. It is true. You must be doing that thing you do that is not letting it in." She didn't like that. It is never satisfying to have someone point out to you that you are the creator of your own experience when it's not going very well. "What do you mean, that thing I do?" "That thing you do that holds you vibrationally apart from your own desire." "What thing?" "Well, it's a lot of different things. You do it many times in every day." "How many times?" "Maybe 2,000. "How do I know when I'm doing that thing?" "Negative emotion is always present." "Well, what do I do?" "When you find yourself in the middle of a thought or a word or an action, and negative emotion is present at the same time, stop and laugh and say, 'This is what I do. This is the reason that what I want is not coming. For it is the only reason that what you want is not coming.'" Esther went to the chicken coop in the middle of the night to gather the eggs and found a possum in the nest with egg all over its face. It was delightful. She went in and woke Jerry up. "You have to see this. We've been talking about egg on your face all of our life. Finally, I've seen it. I know what it is." The guilty look in the possum's eyes, Esther knew exactly what the author of that saying had seen. And this is what we want you to do. We want you to catch yourself with egg on your face. When you find yourself in the middle of negative emotion, you've caught yourself with egg on your face. You've caught yourself doing that thing you do that is holding you vibrationally apart from what you want. Some of you have been listening to us for some time. And in earlier words, we were saying to you, when you have a desire and you believe that desire, then it is. Which is the same thing as saying your desire and you are vibrationally the same. So there is no resistance within you that is keeping you apart from your desire. We know it's hard to hear at first, because when you really, really, really want something, we know that you believe that you are the last person on the planet that would stand in the way between you and what you want. You're not the last person on the planet. You are the only person on the planet who is keeping you from what you want. And all other excuses, all other reasoning is not accurate. If there is something that you desire that you are not living, it is for only one reason. You have a habit of a vibration that is different from your desire, so your desire cannot come to you, because law of attraction says that which is like unto itself is drawn. So if you are discouraged, your joyous desire cannot come to you. If you are angry, your joyous desire cannot come to you. So then, many of our friends of deliberate creation tenaciously take this science and wrestle it to the ground like they do all other things. They say, I'm going to go to a workshop. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to hold my thoughts upon this thing that I want. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And we say, lighten up. In that determined attitude of making something happen, very often you are in resistance to the very thing that you want. The most important thing that we're wanting you to garner from what we are chewing on here today is that you ask in one moment and you let it in other moments. In other words, do not try to ask and receive, 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 ask and receive in the same moments. Just ask as you feel like asking. Contrast will help that happen without your conscious awareness. And then spend most of your time, as best as you can, holding yourself more and more in a vibrational place where you allow what you are wanting to flow into your experience, which simply means be as happy as much of the time as you can. Sometimes people think that once they've launched a specific creation about a mate or about an empire that they are creating or about a new job or about a new house or about anything that is important, that then they have to sort of singularly focus upon this subject of desire until they bring it in, sort of like the very determined fisherman that's out there in every moment casting and reeling it in and casting and reeling it in. Work that stream, work that stream, work that stream, find that fish and bring it to you. Law of attraction is the best friend that you've ever had. And you don't have to go out there and find your desire and drag it to you in any sort of physical mechanism. Law of attraction is the magnetic force that will bring it to you. And in fact, is already working to bring it to you. And in fact, would have already brought it to you. And in fact, has already brought it to you if you would but relax and let it in. So we've been teasing with many of you by saying, so launch your creations all over the place, your objects of desire, and then do your best to bask your way, to appreciate your way, to love your way to the place of receiving, which means a few minutes of petting your cat can be one of the most allowing states you will ever achieve. It certainly is for the cat. A few moments of meditation is certainly a state of allowing. A moment of praise, a moment of remembering a lovely moment, a moment of reflecting on something beautiful, a moment of gazing off into the sunset and appreciating this planet, a moment of remembering a compliment that you received or that you offered, a moment of sitting and listening deeply to the perfection of the music that you are listening to, or a moment of literally putting your mind on pause where you are holding no thought at all. Esther's been playing with that one. Her computer or the recording contraptions have a little red button that means record, and a little arrow that means play, and a little sort of black square sort of button that means stop, and two little slashes that mean pause. So as Esther is editing a tape or listening to a tape, she's got her headset on and she's sitting and listening to Abraham. On and on and on we drive. You know how it is as you've been listening to us. And then Esther will push that pause button and blessed silence in her ears. And she's discovered that when she's lying in her bed or when she's preparing to come and allow Abraham to visit through this format, that she can just sort of close her eyes and mentally push that pause button. And thought for a moment will cease. And as it does, she can viscerally feel the vibration of her being raise as any element of resistance is gone and the true nature of her being ensues. So, we are eager to visit with you about anything that is important to you. You will discover a delightful unfolding here. Sometimes someone else will ask your question even more clearly than you might. Sometimes someone who comes before you will lay a basis for that which you are wanting to talk about. often, every question on your list will be answered, even though you will not sit in the chair. This gathering will be co-creating at its best. Many powerful wanters, many powerful allowers, many connected to source energy beings here. We can feel that you've come truly not only to figure out how to get things that you want, but to assist us all in taking thought beyond that which it has been before.
When the contrast puts me in a state of desire because of something negative, I immediately work on bringing up my vibration so that I get happier again. Sometimes when I do this, I no longer desire the change I originally thought I wanted because now I'm feeling good and I'm happy with where I'm at. And that happens a lot, so I don't seem to create a lot of change.
Well, here...
But then it comes up again and I, you know, desire something else.
Well,
but
let us tell you what's going on there, because we do not think that your final assumption is exactly accurate. Let us tell you why. As you're sort of banging around in the contrast, your desires are rocketing out of you. And source energy is receiving those desires, and law of attraction is managing them, and circumstances and events are being immediately aligned for your mining and receiving of these desires. Now, often when a person says, "I want something," what they're actually meaning, the full vibrational content of that word means, I've identified something that I desire that I don't have. And wanting, in most human terms, is that sort of messy vibration of desiring something that I don't have. There's angst in it. There's yearning in it. There's this sort of uncomfortable edge to it that humans have become familiar with and that they have defined as desire or want. Well, we would like to use the word want or desire in a little purer framework. We would like the feeling of desire to be that fresh, life-giving feeling without the yearning, without the mixture of I don't have it. So what you're saying to us is, as you proceed with that sort of messy vibration of desire, I want this thing I do not have, 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 as you focus upon your contentment, now you're not in that place of yearning, and so you are in a better place of allowing, and the universe now is in a place, it has always been in a place of yielding it to you, but now you are more in a place of receiving it. But we do not think that you are maintaining that place long enough to really let it in, or it would come in. In other words, it's like the old sour grape thing, I didn't want it anyway. And people have discovered that if you've got a desire that's vibrating here and a belief that's vibrating here, there's discord within you and you don't feel so good. In fact, we would like to say in very clear terms that always, without exception, the way you feel is only about the vibrational distance between what you desire and what you believe. In other words, that's what emotions are. They are the range between desire and belief. So when you are joyful, then there is very little range between what you are desiring and what you are believing in that moment, what you are desiring and what you are allowing in that moment. The key is to manage your thoughts. In other words, there are people who would say, well, I want this, but I don't believe it. What should I do? And we say, don't think about it anymore. Because the fact that you desire it means you've launched it to the universe. The universe is yielding it. And if you don't offer your contradictory thoughts about it, then you won't be offering any resistance about it, and it will flow into your experience easily. And then they say, well, I can't not think about it. It's in my face all the time. It has to do with my body, or it has to do with my mate, or it has to do with my child. In other words, it keeps coming up. And we say, well, if it keeps coming up and you can't not think about it, then you must find ways to think about it that feel good while you think about it, and literally train your mind to go to those thoughts. In other words, if you want to play a game that would be really meaningful and really help you get this point, pick a friend who is close in your experience, who has lovely characteristics, but something that just bugs the life out of you. One of those characteristics that sort of, that's the way you describe this friend to others, so to speak. And choose another aspect of that friend that really pleases you, and practice the refreshing, life-giving aspect until that is the way that you refer to that friend. and you will understand exactly what we are talking about. It's the taking a subject and practicing the thought until the new thought becomes the dominant thought. So the new thought, which is the dominant thought, is the allowing thought, and then there's no resistance in your experience.
Well, specifically when
that
I'm
was
thinking
good.
About...
Did you write really good?
Yay. Specifically, I'm talking about my job where basically there's so many things about my job that I love, and then some things come in and they, you know, get the contrast going, and so I get unhappy about that, and then I think, well, I need to focus on the things that I love, and then I love my job again, and then I don't want a new job, and then something else comes up, and I want to try something else again.
Here's the thing you're missing, and it's a big thing. Easy to hear, though, but it is the major thing. So as you're having those things that are coming up in your job, whether you speak it or not, you are launching preferences to the universe that the universe is noting. And those preferences still stand no matter what you're doing after. In other words, as you are having those experiences and launching those desires, the universe knows that you prefer to be treated better. The universe knows that you want a feeling of greater expansion. The universe knows that you want to feel exhilarated about going to work. The universe knows that you want to be really well paid for what you do. The universe knows that you want to be recognized for your part in the greater whole. The universe knows that you are a teacher and that you want to use that format as a basis or an opportunity to uplift others. The universe knows that you want to be happy in your space. The universe knows all of these things that have been shooting out of you all of those days that you've been there. And so as you are now looking for things to appreciate, now you're in the place of allowing the universe to fully deliver to you all of these things that you've been asking for. Someone said to us one day, it was relative to a subject of a relationship that was in her past, and she was really glad that it was in her past. But she was having a hard time attracting the perfect relationship. And she said, "What should I do?" And we said, "Find things about that relationship that has just dissolved. Find things to appreciate about your ex-husband." And she was alarmed. She said, "Oh, no, 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 Abraham. I don't want him back. Do not misunderstand me. I don't want that relationship. I want a different relationship." And she could not understand that her hammering away at what was wrong with that relationship was holding her in a place where she was not a vibrational match to what she'd been telling the universe that she wants. Do not worry. Appreciating where you are will not hold you where you are, because you've already launched all those future rockets of desire. You must continue to move toward your launchings. Okay. But finding satisfaction where you are will put you in a place of allowing yourself to receive what the universe has already lined up for you.
So you don't need to really hold the new thought of where you want to expand to necessarily?
You don't have to figure out how or where or who or when. You just have to launch the rocket as you do, and then hold yourself in as good feeling place as much of the time as you can in order to allow the universe to yield to you what you want. This is the thing that people most misunderstand. They think that deliberate creation means I've got to think about the new job, 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 only think about the new job. But what happens is, as you think about the new job, you cannot help but notice where you are. So if thinking about the new job thrills you, then you're in a place of allowing the new job. If thinking about the new job is discouraging to you because you're so aware of where you are, then you're not in the place of receiving. But not thinking about the job at all, thinking about the lovely day, thinking about how the cat is loving to be petted, thinking about the delicious food that you're eating, thinking about how good your life in general is, can put you in a place of allowing the specifics that you've been asking. When you're mistreated, you launch a rocket. I want to be treated better. When you don't earn as much money as you want, you launch a rocket. I would like more money. When you drive too many hours in traffic, you launch a rocket. I'd like my work to be closer. When nobody's appreciating what you're doing, you launch a rocket, 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 rocket that says, I'm wanting to be appreciated. When you are bored at work, you launch rockets. I'd like to be stimulated. When you're overworked at work, you launch rockets. I'd like greater ease in my workflow. You cannot help but launch these rockets. You're doing it. You don't even have to speak it. The universe gets it. In your moments of greatest discomfort, often you launch your most powerful rockets, you see. So the rocket launching or the asking is a different format than the receiving. And it is the receiving that we're wanting you to begin to focus upon. That's why we're calling it the art of allowing, or the art of letting it in, or the art of receiving, the art of being as happy as your cat.
Stay with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the Evolved Consciousness, collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit hayhouse.com.
I'm Summer McStravick, and maybe you've heard my show, Flow Dreaming. I teach you about a powerful method for manifesting. And if you want to continue your learning, please visit flowdreaming.com. There you'll find articles, my book, and many guided Flow Dreaming CDs. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get a free MP3 download. So continue your search for truth at flowdreaming.com.
Banish anxiety, distress, and depression to make 2007 your best year yet. Join Dr. Eve Wood, psychiatrist and best-selling author, for a life-changing weekend workshop based on her new book, 10 Steps to Take Charge of Your Emotional Life, at The Crossings in Austin, Texas, February 9th through 11th. Discover how to harness your inner healer and transform your life. For information, visit www.thecrossingsaustin.com. Would you like to make a living by making a difference? Join success coach and author Michael Neal in New York City on the 20th and 21st of January for Coaching Mastery, a two-day intensive workshop to take your coaching, your practice, and your life to the next level. To learn more, visit us online at www.geniuscatalyst.com. That's geniuscatalyst.com.
See Bishop Jordan live in a city near you in his new The Laws of Thinking 2007 book tour. This transformational lecture will show you how your thoughts have the power to shape your life. Nothing happens without thought. Bishop Jordan will help you think, understand, and organize your thoughts into a system that will ensure abundance in your life. Why settle when you can have all you desire? Plus, Bishop Jordan will be answering questions and signing books after every lecture. Call now, 800-654-5126, or visit www.hayhouse.com.
Take a vacation to the Mediterranean with Sylvia Brown and find the answers you've been searching for. Join Sylvia and spiritual intuitive Colette Baron-Reed for the all-new 2007 Spiritual Connections Cruise to the Mediterranean, departing from Rome on September 25th. During this 10-night cruise, you'll meet Sylvia in person, enjoy hours of exciting workshops, and you can even ask Sylvia a question. Tickets will sell out, so call now, 888-259-9191, extension 1213, or visit www.sylvia.org.
Find spirituality in all of your relationships with world-famous psychic Sylvia Brown in her new 2007 Spiritual Connections Multi-City Tour. Let Sylvia guide you to more fulfilling relationships and help you attract more positive people in your life. Special bonus, intuitive Colette Baron-Reed is co-hosting this lecture with Sylvia and will provide live readings to select audience members. Tickets are selling fast, so call now, 800-654-5126, or visit sylvia.org.
Hello, I'm Louise Hay. Congratulations, you found us. Welcome to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she brings through the vibration of Abraham.
Sometimes I've heard you say that the power of the writing, I've heard you say before, it's the most powerful that you see we humans use to make transitions.
Because you focus better there.
Okay.
If someone could create a movie about all of the things that you want, and you were to sit and watch the movie, the beautiful movie unfolding with all of its sound, that would be better than your writing.
Right. Whatever brings you to that state of bliss.
Whatever causes you to focus. Emotion. That's why we think it is beneficial to watch little snatches of movies.
I went out a month ago and I bought all the DVDs that had parts in them that would make me feel really good.
And just watch those parts.
That's all I did.
Yes.
And I bought a whole collection of movies, though the rest of the movie did not make me feel good. And now I find myself, because the DVD, you can go straight to that spot. I find myself programming them and just going to those spots and having that feeling and really building that momentum.
Excellent. Now that's a strong point of focus, and that can be as beneficial as writing.
And I've heard Jerry mention before about that you'll have a music that makes you feel good, and ironically, being a songwriter and musician, I'd never thought of the particular songs that make me so high. Putting a collection of them together and just having them at any time now, I can put those on and they raise my vibration.
You can do the same thing with memories. You can do the same thing with collections of past experience. You can make a collage of compliments that you've received or offered or moments in time. In other words, anything that causes you to focus and feel good is beneficial.
Then what in thinking, writing, speaking, or feeling? People through the last, that I've read through the last 100 years have written that I identify with, like Florence Scovel Shinn, that she says the power of the spoken word is the greatest tool that we have to create our reality.
Well, we would say a spoken word that engenders a feeling has power.
So the feeling of the
Because there are a lot of people offering affirmations that are offering words that are in absolute contradiction to the thing that they want. Someone could stand and say, what I want is this, and they could be speaking of desire that they hold, but their awareness is about how far away from the desire they are. And in that discouraged feeling, even though they're using words about what they want, their vibration is nowhere near it. And so it is an awareness of the way you feel that is your indicator of the way you are vibrating, which is everything.
Then changing my way of feeling better to writing every day is not necessarily the best thing for me to do.
Not necessarily.
To create my momentum.
A lot of people sit to write with the same attitude that they go to the gym and pick up barbells. They're trying to make something happen to take themselves from this place they don't want to be to a place that they do want to be. But the emphasis is on where they do not want to be, and so the vibration doesn't shift. That's why the whole subject of this seminar is evolving to the art of receiving or to the art of letting it in, where so many have sort of interpreted it to be the art of making it happen.
Then the power of the thoughts that we have, for example, if you're sitting and you know as you're walking through this lobby, you know what you're wanting to experience and you're thinking it and you're creating it moment to moment as you go.
But do not forget, you created it long ago, and you're amending it constantly, but the creation is in place. Now your work's to let it in. So enjoy the fish, play on the elevator, watch for children that are playful, look for people to compliment. If you feel closed in, get outside, go to the beach. Do letting it in stuff. Don't do hammering to concentrate on the thing that is unfulfilled stuff, because you've asked already. The universe is yielding. Now chill out and let it in.
Thank you very much.
Before you go, we want to give you a little piece of something. Jerry and Esther have been playing with this because Esther and Jerry, both of them, have made a decision that they're going to catch themselves doing that thing they do, and they're going to do it less and less and less and less and less. And so they made a decision a day or two ago that they were really going to be good at this. And neither one of them correct the other one. And yet they're together all of the time. So any misstep that either one of them makes, the other one is fully aware of it. And even though they don't speak about it, there is this knowing exchange that takes place just the same. And so the other day, Jerry said, let's go 31 days without doing that thing we do, because they're getting pretty good at it. And Esther said, all right. And so a minute later, they started over. And another minute later, they started over. And another minute later, they started over. Now it's getting really funny because they've started over 27 times and it's only been 14 minutes. And so now they're being very playful about it. And then Esther said, maybe we should say we won't eat. Rather than reaching for 31 days, maybe we should just reach for the next meal. And each time we have to start over, the meal is that much further ahead. And then they said, we're really doing that thing we do, aren't we? In other words, as they're using this thing as a sort of club over their head, we're wanting you to find that comfortable place. And we think there will be endless games that you will discover. In other words, that game worked really well for them for 4 days until they realized that after playing the game for 4 days, they were still 31 days to go. And then the game wasn't very much fun because it seems like after a day, there should only be 30 days left, not 31. And it seems after 2 days, there should only be 29. It was like they set a standard that they were not achieving. So they've taken that thing they do overboard. we would say. In other words, we want it to be this light, playful thing that you do where you recognize that mostly you are letting well-being in. Look at you. Look at how you are thriving. Look at the well-being that is abounding in your physical experience. You're doing extremely well. You are always wanting to allow more of the well-being in, but you're doing so very, very well. And this is what we were wanting to get at with our friend earlier, who was wanting to achieve a greater sense of self-awareness and a greater appreciation of self. You're just in this moment doing really, really fine, reaching for an even finer feeling. That's the attitude that you're wanting to hold. Yes,
thank
indeed.
You.
Yes.
I thought it might be fun to elaborate more on the subject of menopause and sort of extend that to sex and why I think that's only something that other people have now. So... I think that menopause is like the boogeyman. And I've been doing this long enough to know that that isn't productive. But I kind of see it, I'm walking along, and, you know, then you fall into the abyss. Now, the reason why I think it's an abyss is because I want to remain fertile. I want another baby. And we've been through this before, so I understand the miraculousness of that. But it's become more challenging because can we not have menopause? Can we stay fertile? Can we? Wouldn't that be nice? Although, you know, menopause doesn't frighten me. I'm fine about it. But after I'm done having babies and I'm not ready to have the other baby yet, because I would like a mate this time. Not that I don't, I'm blissful about this, sharing this daughter with just me and my daughter. I love being single with her and being her mother, and it's all perfect. But I would like a mate this time so that I don't put so much pressure on myself to have everything done right now, so that I can take my time with time and relax about it. And I think a partner might, you know, go, okay, you take it off my shoulders just for a little bit tonight, and then I'll take it, and then you take it. And I think it might be a little easier. But I just could care less about mating, so, which is unusual for me. And I'm in a business where I have handsome men kissing me all the, you know, I just kiss them and get paid. And I'm, it sort of sounds like I'm a prostitute. I'm not. not that there's anything wrong with that, if that's what you choose. But it's sort of like a yawn. I just don't really know. I can't imagine what's happened to me.
Well, you've offered several things here, and as you listen back, we think that you will have a little bit of fun as you hear the contradictions in the statements that you're offering. We're going to point just a few of them out, because there's a sort of scatteredness of the energy of what you're offering. Because on the one hand, you're saying, I'm wanting to have another baby, but I'm really not wanting to have this baby now, but I'm wanting to have it with a mate, but I'm really not really interested in a mate. There's a whole lot of contradictory energy. So let us get right to the answers first by saying to you that as you say, I'm wanting to have another child, and I'm wanting to have it with a partner, and I'm wanting it to be a delicious experience, and I'm wanting the timing of that to be perfect, you've already been saying all of those things. In other words, the universe has received every single one of those requests. And now your work is not to hammer it out or to figure out how to make it happen or to psychoanalyze yourself or to try to figure out why you're feeling this or why you're not feeling that. Your work is just to get happy about whatever it is you are doing and trust that the universe in perfect timing will bring all of that. That about. We think that you are the perfect example, and we feel it so much with our very hard-working, very deliberate-minded students of deliberate creation. We can feel that you are too involved in wanting to get it right, too involved in trying to make it happen. And really, it is for this reason that we've begun speaking in the way we do about letting it happen. We want you to trust that you have set forth your requests, and now your work is not to say to the universe, universe, you got to hurry up because my eggs are running out, or universe, you got to hurry up because I don't know how much longer I've got. We say, are those locked on statements? When you have that feeling of urgency, you can feel that it isn't. And so
I remember you saying, that there has to be a certain level of belief in the things that you focus, the things that you want, so that that helps you center yourself in believing that can
happen. But here's a question. You've heard us say, you heard us just say it. What you want is inevitable. The only question is how much time will pass before you allow it to be. And that length of time is based upon how much resistance or allowance you are practicing in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
We come back from segment of lunch, we'll start with you, and we'll begin there.
Good.
Very good. We are complete. And are you refreshed? Bring us round to where you are. In other words, what are you wanting here and now?
I want another baby. I want to know that I've got time to do it. I want to want a relationship. I feel like I'm flatlined in that area and that I need a doctor, a cute doctor, actually, to get, what do you call those fibrillators? Clear, you know, and just get me going again.
So, can you hear us when we say that you're too involved in the process? In other words, do you accept that you've launched the desire? Do you accept that
yes.
that it's out there? And do you believe us when we say the universe is answering it?
I do believe that because I have evidence that you all do.
And so do you need to continually restate it? Do you believe that you have
no.
to speak the path through which all of this will come? Or do you believe that you have set forth the desire and that the universe is answering and now your work is to just allow it to be?
Yes, I'm just having a little trouble
allowing it to be.
Allowing it to be, which is what I want. So I want to get out of my own way. And there are things, when I start to talk about what I want, where I spiral into the bad place.
Well, that's what we're getting at.
Yeah.
In other words, we think you've made your statement of desire. Maybe you don't have to talk about it now.
Probably not. My only issue is that my wants seem a little far-fetched in terms of staying in somewhat in what you can believe would really happen. Let me explain it further. In other words...
Yeah, let me talk about it further. Let me hold myself in the place of not allowing
further. No, I just want to just clear up that one little... All right, I know. I'm being a little naughty right now, but just let me get it out, and then we can make it go away.
Make a note that she is the one exception in all of the universe.
No, I am not. I already know that. If you just say, yes, it's possible, then I'll believe you and go sit down.
Yes, it's possible. Yes, it's possible. In other words, whatever you desire is possible. Are you telling us that you are currently out of eggs?
No.
Are you telling us that you're afraid that you will run out of eggs before the universe delivers the perfect mate to you with
yes.
whom you can co-create another baby?
Yes.
And so what we're talking about is timing. We're talking about shortening the span of time between now when you haven't found your partner and the time when you will have your partner, now when you feel no inspiration to co-create a baby, and then when you will feel enormous inspiration to co-create a baby. And what we're saying to you, that gap of time, that span of time, is as long or as short as you allow it to be. And we think that in your overanalyzing of the situation, you make the time longer, which gives you more reason to worry than if you would just chill out and acknowledge that you've asked and that the universe is delivering, and now just get yourself in a happy place, be busy with your other things that
okay.
you're about, and let the universe deal with it in the way that it always does.
I think that's excellent. I accept that. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm going through tremendous transition in my
Good.
Life, Abraham. I'd like to hear what you have to say to me today.
We think transition is a wonderful thing. We think that it is never ending. Talk to us about details.
Well, I'm going through a divorce. My business has struggled seemingly because as a result of it. But at the same time, I'm seeing opportunities, choices, especially regarding my spirituality through all this. Today has been exhilarating and heart-opening, mind-opening. And
when you say you're going through a divorce, Does it feel like a long tunnel where things just beat you up all the time you're in the tunnel? Is it like going through the gauntlet? Is it like I'm going through a divorce? That's sort of what that means, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And can you find other ways of saying, this chapter of my life is closed, or there is a new chapter of my life that is opening? In other words, is there a softer way of feeling the divorce than I'm going through a divorce?
Yes.
Those are normal physical human words, because what you say with those words are, I'm in a very painful place where two people who once loved each other still remember the love that they wanted but aren't finding it and are now using each other to deprive each other of life itself. That's what you mean when you say, I'm going through a divorce. And if we were standing in your physical shoes, instead we would say, I've passed through the divorce and I'm out in the light.
I've passed through the divorce and I'm out in the light.
Doesn't feel like that yet, though, does it?
Getting there.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because you said that you think that that is the reason that your business is struggling. In other words, the uncomfortable attention that you've been giving to that has been your reason for holding yourself in the place of not allowing. So you've sort of pinched off things, other things that you were wanting for a while. Do you think you're at the place where you can put your mind on pause relative to that subject, or is it such an active part of your life, an active part of your thought, that you just can't think about much else?
No, I think I'm at a point now where I can put my mind on pause about such things.
Did the divorce make you feel failing, or did it make you recognize that you are transitioning? In other words, do you think that you are transitioning because of the divorce, or do you think the divorce is a byproduct of your transitioning? That's big. The answer really matters. Think it over.
At first, it was like I had failed. And as I got more and more accustomed to being alone, it seemed like the divorce was a spark, or gave me an opportunity to embark on a new chapter of my life.
We think so too, and we think that the correct answer is the divorce was the byproduct of the transition that had already taken place. Our friend, as we began earlier today, was talking about, she achieved a different vibration than her children, and when she went to visit them, she literally got tossed out of the mix. And that's sort of what happened to you. You just got tossed out of the mix. So the divorce was a product of the transition that had already taken place. It is not a failing. It's an answer to transitions. You get a sense of it?
And yes,
does that ever feel different, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes. So now what? Do you have to figure it out all at once, or can you continue to transition and trust the universe to yield?
No, I can continue to transition and
what
allow.
Kinds of desires do you believe were born? Desires that are still alive within you now, that were born in that marriage that dissolved. In other words, can you feel desires that exist now as a result of that life that you lived then?
I'm beginning to be myself, to be comfortable with myself, to be accepting of how I feel and what I want. All were things that are becoming a byproduct of all that.
Oh, there isn't anything more essential to come to know than that. We think it was worth it. Do you?
Yes.
Yes.
For a long time, I guess, because of my relationship, I put a lot of things that I wanted to do for myself and for others on hold, and I hope those things begin to evolve now and come forth.
Let us give you a little bit of something here, because now you've transitioned into this new place. That doesn't mean necessarily that you are a whole new person vibrationally allowing all that you've wanted. So there may still be some sticking points, and you've heard here today what to do about them. The temptation after moving through a divorce into this new space is to continue to use what happened then as your explanation about why things slowed down or about why things aren't really working the way you want them to. And we would encourage you to try to resist that temptation. Instead, just think in terms of that was then. And as we said earlier, try to look for the positive aspects of what you have come through, because there are many positive aspects of all of that. You are a magnificent being, and a large part of that which is you pulsing and vibrating right now is as a result of that co-creative time that you spent together. So spend no time looking back, wanting to explain that you could have been more if it weren't for that, or you should have been more if it weren't for that. Instead, acknowledge how much desire has been encouraged from you as a result of that, and feel appreciation for all of that. Now, that pure appreciation will be a little while in coming, but reach for it just the same. And you may catch yourself, it's a very common thing, catching yourself doing that thing you do over the next 2 or 3 months. Quite often you're going to be right in the middle of explaining something about that relationship, and when you do, just stop and laugh and say, oh yeah, that was me then, this is me now. I'm appreciative of so much of that. In other words, just step into a more general and therefore better feeling place. And let all of that serve you rather than hinder you. Most people who experience divorce, as you are in the process of doing, spend 5 to 10 years regaining their balance. Not necessary. You could do it in a week, you see. And the reason that it takes them so long to regain their balance is because they still want to explain that failure. They took it as a failure rather than as a gift. They took it as a symptom of their failing rather than as a symptom of their transition. And so then they spend a whole lot of time trying to justify why it happened. And we would spend no time justifying to anyone why it happened. We have enjoyed this interaction immensely. It is delicious to come together with those like you, who have made a decision that you are going to allow the well-being that you've been asking for to flow powerfully into your experience. We want you to realize that even though you may not be letting it in fully now, the fact that you have been asking and the fact that the universe has answered you means that you are only a very short distance in terms of time from fully receiving the manifestation of all things that you want. The distance between where you are and where you want to be is only a little vibrational massaging away. By reaching for more thoughts that feel good, and by being more playful with yourself when you catch yourself in that mode of resistance where you're not letting it in, you'll speed this process even more. It is not our expectation that you will ever or would ever want to find yourself in a place where there is no negative emotion, because negative emotion is a powerful tool. It is a very good friend that helps you to understand your vibrational place relative to your desire.
To learn more about Abraham, visit HayHouse.com to find the books, The Law of Attraction, and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at Abraham-Hicks.com. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.